It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew as we continue this wonderful study. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to begin reading with verse 3. And so Matthew 27, verse 3. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 217-440-4402. And if you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies there. I hope you enjoy them. I hope they help you to come to know the Lord Jesus and grow in the Lord Jesus. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. We begin reading now with verse 3 of the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew, chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. The chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And they gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have your precious word. Thank you, Father, for the salvation that you have offered to each and every one. Thank you for that precious gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that all will listen, will carefully, prayerfully listen, that they know you as their Savior, not just in their mind, but in their heart. And, Father, we know that that cannot come and will not take place unless there be a time, unless there be a day that we recognize that we're a lost, worthless sinner and we need your Son, the Lord Jesus, to save us because he had paid the price. He's paid the debt of sin. He's fulfilled the law and he is right now at your right hand, Father. Thank you. He is making intercession for us. We're just waiting for his return to come and get us. Thank you, Father. But please, please help folks to understand they need to make that decision because so many today believe in your Son, believe he died, believe he rose again. But they have never had that personal relationship. They've never invited him into their heart. So, Father, please today, today, as we come through this time here with Judas and with the crucifixion, please that they understand this great need. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go first after reading this section here in Matthew chapter 27. We're going to go to Acts because we're going to make some references to that as we continue this study. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. And in those days, Peter stood in the midst of the disciples and said unto them, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before the before concerning Judas, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. And he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Now keep that in mind, because we're going to make references to that, because that really gives us a little bit fuller picture of what took place with Judas. Judas had, at the finding that Jesus was condemned, repented himself. This condemnation of Jesus, this being condemned, brought remorse, and eventually suicide was the result of Judas. Maybe Judas didn't think that Jesus was going to be condemned, that Jesus would somehow, as he had many times before, delivered himself away from his enemies. He did that many times before. Well, this time it was time. And Judas took the money. Judas' interest, his intent, was to get gain. That was his first thought. He wanted gain. And I'm sad to say that many people live their lives today with that same thought and purpose in mind, that they're there to get gain. And that is a very sad, sad thought, because if that's all you're here for is to get gain and also to play. So many people live all of their lives for one purpose, and that is to retire so I can play. We're here for a purpose. We're here to have a family, to raise a family, and that family takes your precious Father, your precious Word out. And God has given us children so that they can be messengers of the gospel to take that Word out. And it's our responsibility to raise them and to teach them to be missionaries. Now, that doesn't mean they go into some foreign country, but that means that in their work and in their where they live, that they are witnesses of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and they share that. They live it, and they share it. And that's the purpose of our life, and our life should be of that all of our life. That doesn't mean that we can't go on vacation. That means that we can't have leisure time. We sure can. But don't live your life to finally get done working, because you should enjoy, and your work should be your mission field, as well as your home, as well as where you visit, where you go. It should always be a witness and a testimony to who you are and who the Lord Jesus is. And you raise your family to do that so that the next generation will follow. And so when we see this, we need to understand that that is the purpose of life, is to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, not to just play, not to just entertain yourself, not for the pleasures of you. We are here for the pleasures of God. We are here to serve Him and to praise Him and to honor Him. Understand that. And your life is going to become a lot fuller than what it is right now if you will just understand and realize the purpose that you're here, why you were born. You're born to be a witness, and you're born to bring honor and glory unto God. Judas did not understand that, even though he spent 3 years side by side with the Lord Jesus. Now, Judas repented himself, the scripture says. Now, if we look back here, and in verse 3, it says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, and again, I don't know whether he didn't think he was going to be condemned or thought he was going to escape in some way or another, but anyway, when he found that he was condemned, he repented himself. That does not mean that he changed for the better. It simply means that he changed his view concerning the matter that was before him. When he sold Jesus out, I don't believe that he thought that he was going to be condemned. And so by that, he was just, you know, Judas didn't think this thing out, and people don't when money becomes an issue. Sometimes when for a job, and you don't care who you hurt or what you do to get that job because you need that extra money, and you don't see the damage that you're doing, especially concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you just gain some money kind of dishonestly, maybe not illegal, but it just isn't quite right. But that doesn't, that's okay because I need the money. And you see, when your life is set upon that, and that's what Judas's life was set upon, he was the keeper of the money. He was the treasurer of the disciples of these apostles. He was the treasurer. He had this money, but it really wasn't his. And so he had an opportunity to gain some, and so he took that opportunity. You see, his intent was to get gain. Now, again, it means that he did change his view, change his feelings on this matter. You know, and I'm going to give you an example here, because a lot of people, when it says repent, that means, oh, did Judas get saved? No, he did not. He didn't go to the Lord Jesus and fall down before him and ask him to forgive him. He didn't do what the thief on the cross did. When the thief on the cross says, hey, he told the other thief, his buddy, he said, hey, you just watch what you're saying because we deserve this. But he doesn't. But he doesn't. He recognized his sin. And when the question was asked, will you remember me? That man got saved. Judas didn't do that. But I'm going to give you an example here of how a person can repent. And that is an example of a drunk driver that gets arrested. He gets thrown in jail. He repents. He's sorry that he got drunk, or at least he's sorry that he got caught. He repented. That's just what Judas did. He was sorry that Jesus was condemned. He was sorry that it didn't work out kind of like he thought it was going to. But that's all he's sorry for. That's all that he's sorry for. Now, he brought back that 30 pieces of silver. Verse 3, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He was so taken by grief that he decided that, you know, this gain, this money wasn't worth it. So Judas attempted to return the money to those that gave it to him. And he said, I have sinned, in verse 4, in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. So he attempts to return it. I have sinned because I have betrayed the innocent blood. In his heart, you see, he knew that Jesus was not guilty of these charges. Again, that doesn't make him a true believer. It doesn't make him born again. And just like yourself, you may agree that Jesus was a good man. You may agree that he lived a good life. But you have never let yourself be examined by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that Jesus sent, to show you that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're condemned already, you're on your road to hell. And unless you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him, accepting the fact that you're a worthless sinner. I'm a worthless sinner, but I'm saved by grace because I have accepted Jesus as my Savior and him alone, not any connection to it, not baptism, not anything that's connected to it. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Not church membership, not baptism, not communion, nothing. It's Jesus and Jesus alone you need to trust in by faith. And God gives you that faith. So all you have to do is call upon him. But please do. Please do. Here's Judas' situation. He knew that Jesus was innocent. Judas had heard the truth, heard it many times, but he did not trust in the Lord Jesus. Jesus was innocent. It was perfect. And the response to him, these chief priests, these religious people, understand that. And we got lots and lots of churches and lots of preachers that say the same thing because they do not preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What is that to us? It's what they told Judas. Judas come back, he had the 30 pieces of silver in his hand. He said, here, I want you to take this back because I realize what I've done. This man is innocent. I had no idea he was going to be condemned, but he is. And so please that you take this money back, please. What is that to us? What is that to us? We got what we wanted. We're finished with you. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, all these religious people, all these supposed preachers had no more use for this man named Judas because he had carried out all we wanted, got him arrested, brought him before the council, got him condemned. No remorse here, none. And that's found today. It seems that the preachers today that do not preach the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus have no remorse, even though they are literally telling and sending their congregation straight to hell because they are rejecting that precious news, the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You took care of it. See thou. You're done. You're done. So Judas, in his grief of knowing that Jesus has been condemned, knowing that he had a hand in that, was just angered all the more and frustrated all the more and discouraged all the more and disappointed all the more, despondent all the more, that these chief priests, these religious leaders, now wants nothing to do with him, nor would they take the money back. And in this state of mind that Judas is in, He just flings the money. He just casts it onto the floor of the temple. And departs. Now the end of that verse 5 tells us, and he went and hanged himself. Not only to be saddened and repent of what he had done, and not only the rejection he received from these religious people, these preachers of hell, and now that he has rid himself of the 30 pieces of silver, he's finding nothing's helping. Nothing's helping. His conscience, he just could not get this out of his mind, what he has done. He couldn't get rid of the guilt. So there was only one thing to do, and that's to go out and hang himself. Many a person today make that same decision. For whatever reason, they don't think that they can continue to live. Sometime today, it's drugs and alcohol and things of that sort, but many times it's just a depression that people get into. And the reason that they get there is because they're like Judas. They have not trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And decisions of life that have went the wrong way for them, an event that's taking place that is, you feel like it has ruined your life. Maybe it's work or it's a marriage or it's children or something or other that has just so devastated you that you believe that this is the only way out. Well, it's not. Because when you leave this world without knowing the Lord Jesus, you're going straight to the place of torment, awaiting your final home, which is the lake of fire. And you think you have torment now? You think that it's here and now? You see nothing. So understand that the choice you need to make is to come to the Lord Jesus. We've got all kinds of psychiatrists and all kinds of doctors that give us all kinds of answers, but the only true and real answer is the Lord Jesus. And you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Now, we read from Acts, and we're going to go back because the book of Acts there spoke of a reference that David made back in Psalms. And so we're going to go back to Psalms 41, verse 9. I don't think I've got the right verse there. Sometimes you'll record verses that are not correct. Let me take another check here. It is so important that we see this, and let me go back to Acts because we can find it there. Acts chapter 1, and we've read from verse 15 through 18. And we find Psalms 41, 9 is correct. yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Yep, it was the correct one. And now as we come back to Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and again, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. He was numbered with them and had obtained part of this ministry. Named among them, not saved. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Now, we have something here that is an addition, not different, not an error in Scripture, but different. Because in Matthew, it tells us that he went out and hanged himself. Now, in the condition that Judas was in, I believe that he was so in despair because of what he had done. Instead of making the right decision to call upon the Lord Jesus, to come to him and say, please, please forgive me. And they didn't even have to be together. He could have done that any place. He could have fallen on his face and he says, please, please, Jesus, forgive me. I trust in you as my Savior. But instead of that, he made the same choice that many people today make. They refuse the Lord Jesus. And they become despondent, whether it's through health or through disease or something that they're facing. Instead of having the strength and the security to go on and to follow after and to serve God and to last out this life as in the plans that God had had for you. Instead of that, why Judas did what many people today do. They become so discouraged, so despondent, that they go out and kill themselves. Judas did that very thing. He grabbed an old rope, tied it to something or other, a tree or something or other, and just flung himself out. We don't know whether the rope broke. We don't know what happened. But according to Acts, he went down over the cliff. Not an uncommon thing in the area of Jerusalem. He wouldn't have to go very far to find this kind of place to watch this kind of, to have this kind of thing happen. And that's what happened to Judas. And this just adds to his horrible end of his life. Mountains and cliffs were not uncommon around Jerusalem, so Judas just flung himself down. Probably the rope broke. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Judas was often reproved during the 3 years that he walked with Jesus. And yet he did not come by faith. He did not trust in him. My friend, there is nothing more important today than for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, yes, I am a sinner, and yes, I need to be saved. Please save me, and he will. And the Holy Spirit will come to live within your heart, and you begin to have a power and a wisdom and a joy that you've never experienced before. So please, please, don't be a Judas. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?